Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. The West is all in on the side of Israel. It is essentially forbidden to speak of de-escalation and negotiations. At this point, Israel's war aims are unclear. However, if we use history as a guide, there is no military solution to this conflict. There can only be a political resolution. Crosstalking Palestine, I'm joined by my guest, Misty Winston in Columbus. She is a political activist as well as host of the Misty Winston Show on TNT Radio. In London, we have Bushra Saik. She is a political and social broadcaster on GB News. And in St. Petersburg, we cross to Hassan Unal. He is a professor at the Department of Political Science and International Relations at Bashkent University. All right, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Let's go to our guest in London. You know, you very rarely quote the New York Times in this program because it's not an authoritative source of information, needless to say, when it comes to Palestine. But they had a guest op-ed that asked a very important question, if not the most important question when it comes to this conflict. And it's titled, "Does the U.S. Really Want a Mass Expulsion in Gaza?" And I think that is the question here. We can talk about strategy and tactics and all of this, but that's what it gets down to, is the fate of Gaza. Your thoughts, please.
Ultimately, this is absolutely concerning because obviously we have like the Western world totally involved in this as well. And from the perspective of somebody that's sitting in Great Britain, I can see how heavy that is right now. And this mass expulsion that we do look at, this is something that's been incrementally been happening for decades. So it's certain that we know that there is a side of both Biden and Netanyahu that probably want to have an expulsion of Gazans from especially the northern part at the moment, because what we know is that as soon as Gazans, Palestinians are expelled from their land, that land gets occupied. Perhaps this is something more to do with not really wanting a two-state solution. So if Israel ultimately have more land, they can just go ahead with a one-state solution not have needs at all.
That's what it really boils down to. Misty, we had Secretary of State Blinken, jumping around the Middle East, trying to reenact Henry Kissinger's shuttle diplomacy, which he apparently has failed utterly. There are no deliverables here. And he said, we want to set up, we're thinking about doing, we want to plan. He's not doing any of those things for the reasons that our guest just said in London. This is a way somehow to conduct an expulsion of 2.2 million people and get away with it and call themselves humanitarians in the process. Go ahead, Misty.
It's incredibly interesting to watch it play out. And you're absolutely right. I think that Blinken has very clearly not gotten any kind of deliverables, anything of substance. And I think that that was probably never the goal. I think it's almost certainly what we've just described here, that they are attempting to, as we mentioned, this has been going on for decades. And I think that this is just an escalation of the expulsion that we've been seeing. They're just trying to, ramp this up a little bit, move it along a little bit quicker. And so I think they're trying to, as you said, get Palestinians out of the north. They'll just move into that land. And I think, we have people like Nikki Haley, full-throated support of taking in a million Palestinians into the United States, which is interesting considering her rhetoric about immigration in general. But I think that the reason why her and others like her are doing that is because if those Palestinians come here, Israel gets to take that land.
Well, Hassan, in St. Petersburg, there was Joe Biden had an interview a few days ago. I think it was CBS News. And he said it would be a mistake for Israel to occupy Gaza. And then he said in the same interview, and I don't know, it's hard to tell if this guy is, if he's so senile now. Is it a gaffe? Is he letting something, revealing something? He said he talked about a Palestinian authority. Is he talking about the PA and the West Bank? Because it sounds like they want to get Mahmoud Abbas on the back of an Israeli tank and take him to Gaza. Go ahead in St. Petersburg.
Well, I would think when the Americans talk about occupying the whole of Gaza or launching a full-scale military operation into that strip by Israel being a mistake, I would think they are a bit talking about geopolitically. So a United States, which would get involved in the Middle Eastern affairs again and again, that would certainly clearly demonstrate the United States' sort of disengagement from the Ukrainian conflict. I mean, what the Ukrainian conflict has got up to is a stage where the Western world has lost the war. But, you know, when it comes to officially admitting that they have lost it, you need something, some sort of a pretext, perhaps. But then this is one thing. The other thing, if the United States were to get involved in Middle Eastern politics and affairs and military conflicts over and over again, this would not only turn the tide in the United States against any government in power, but it would also give China further time to basically carry on with its economic development and making its military preparations with regard to a potential war in Taiwan. If they if they are talking about these geopolitical concerns in mind, about what it is, then we would wish that these geopolitical concerns would sort of restrain the Israelis from any large-scale military operation in Gaza. And the other side of the coin is Israel has found a pretext on which it wants to launch a large-scale military operation in Gaza. But then the problem is it would basically, it would not be easy for Israel to do what it wants to expel all these people from Gaza. Is almost a sheer impossibility, as I can see from my where I stand. And Israel would have to sustain enormous casualties. Israel is not a country that can easily sustain casualties, and the government in power would sort of explain it to the public.
Well, let's go back to London. Bushra, it seems to me that Hamas basically gamed this out. They had a pretty good idea exactly what Israel was going to do, and Israel is doing it. Israel doesn't have a strategy. This is all about revenge, but that is a strategic mistake, okay? And Hamas is fully aware of this, and they know that at a certain point, there is Hezbollah and other regional players that will react. I don't know exactly what, no one does. But Hamas understood what they were doing, and I am not covering for Hamas. Hamas fighters, if they committed atrocities in Israel, they should be held accountable for it, like Israelis should be held account for atrocities. Go ahead, in London.
Ultimately, I think, you know, this is a very complex political placement right now as well. And I think Hamas are always also aware that there is this illusion about a two-state solution, that Saudi has been in discussions with Jordan and with USA and with Israel. Because ultimately, since 2009, when Benjamin Netanyahu even endorsed the two-state policy and said that he would discuss that, they have still been occupying parts of Palestine, parts of Gaza. So therefore, it's an illusion. And so maybe Hamas themselves know that actually there is no honesty in this. There's no truth in this. So perhaps that trap was set up. Israel has been lured into it. And so both of them are playing the game that they want to play. Ultimately, I believe the two-state solution is an illusion. There is no substance behind it.
Well, and I think there might have been at one time, but dear, that was a long, long time ago. And let me go back to Misty in Columbus. I'm glad this was brought up here, the two-state solution, when Joe Biden said it. I mean, Joe Biden, when it was viable, Joe Biden was a young man, okay? That's how ridiculous this is right now. There is no two-state solution. Israel has never wanted it. And what they've wanted is to cobble up as much land as they can, and they want to do it all over again with Gaza. Misty.
For sure. I think that the two-state solution is long gone. I think that there was a time when that was maybe a possibility. I think even Hamas had agreed to the 1967 borders,
despite the fact that they
didn't want to recognize Israel, but they were willing to accept those 1967 borders. So I think that that was a possibility at one time. I think it was always very tenuous, but I think that we have long since passed that window of opportunity. I think that there is no way that, especially given everything that has happened over this past week, I think that there's absolutely no case for that to be made whatsoever. So I think that we are certainly looking at, as you said at the very top of the show, this needs to be a political solution. This needs to be, you know, something that is not military. There is no military solution for this. I think that we've seen that play out over decades, and we are either going to see the bombings continue and the deaths continue, or there's going to be a political solution that somebody enacts. And I just think that that's going to be a one-state solution where everybody has equal rights.
And that's the plan. It's been for a very long time, but you have to have willing, honest players to do that, and we don't in this case here. Hassan, it seems to me, it seems to me that Hamas is willing to commit suicide to save the Palestinian people. Is that an overstatement?
Well, difficult to tell whether Hamas consciously basically created a trap to lure Israel into, to basically keep the Palestinian resistance conscious, one way or the alive, one way or the other, or whether actually Hamas actually tested its new capabilities that it has over over the last few years acquired, is difficult to say. But what it is if Israel were to go into Gaza in the way we are all expecting, then it would turn into a big trap for Israel. There is no question about it. But at the same time, the problem is, and the Palestinian question lingers on. How are you going to resolve it? You know,
that's
it
right.
Is easy for all those states to basically utter a two-state solution to it. Yes, it would be better, but you would have to have an Israeli government really willing and serious, in good faith, negotiating a settlement to the Palestinian question.
Or suffer a military defeat. That is the only way that is going to happen. Goodwill?
Well,
come on.
Going to suffer a military defeat, then we will have to wait.
Okay, we'll have to wait, and we're going to have to go to a short break. And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on Palestine. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. To remind you, we're discussing Palestine. Okay, let's go back to our guest in London. Another one of the burning questions when everything is said and done. I mean, this conflict will come to an end at some point. I truly believe it. Horrific costs for civilians and everyone all around. This is absolutely tragic here. But who will rule Gaza? See, this is where Blinken and others are trying to find a way where they can continue the open air prison, just have a more amenable prison ward. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are one of the discussions that we're having here in the UK is about the moral high ground. And let's just say for this discussion that Israel at the moment hold the moral high ground. As the number of, as the death toll increases, as more Palestinians die effectively, they are going to lose that. And even though we are going to see, you know, them claiming that they are doing this to defend themselves, you know, in some people will agree that that's what they want to do. But like, essentially, they will lose that and they will not hold a moral high ground. So I think at that point, it's going to be a turning point for Palestinian people. And then at that point, we will establish who is going to run Gaza and Palestine. Because even at the moment, I don't know, but I certainly know that they are losing a lot of faith globally. I think people slowly understanding what's going on.
Oh, absolutely. That was one of my questions. And I think that, you know, you can have Western capitals throw all their support they want, as I said in the top of the program. But if you look at the protests all through Europe, I mean, that they're not reflecting the government whatsoever. And this should have been expected. It should have been very much expected. You know, Misty, one of the very odd situations that the world is facing here is there are up to at least 500 nationals in Gaza that have foreign passports. Many of them from the UK, the United States. What about their lives? If they are of any value whatsoever? I don't see Anthony Blinken talking about those people. I don't hear the British government talking about their own nationals as well. This puts them in a real quandary because, as you know, who has the moral high ground? Go ahead, Misty.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think that we've also seen the Israeli officials, they very clearly do not care about those people or the hostages that have been taken. And I think that that's why in my opinion, they do not hold the moral high ground at this point. I think that we have seen the support for Israel. I think that their very cynical campaign of labeling any criticism of the Israeli government as anti-Semitic, I think that that has very much lost its effectiveness. And I think people are starting to see through that charade. And I think since the internet burst onto the scene, and in particular, I think since social media really became a galvanizing force, I think that we have started to see public opinion shift on this issue in a huge way. And I think that the protests that we have seen over the course of the past week are certainly indicative of that. I think that around the world, I think that the people recognize who the oppressor is, who the oppressed is, regardless of what the current situation is. And I think that I think that's why we're starting to see a little bit of desperation, in my opinion, from Israel. I think they realize they're starting to lose that information war. And I think that that's something that they're trying to contend with.
Yeah, well, that's why their favorite weapon is censorship, okay?
Yeah.
And I know a lot about that, about having the wrong thoughts, okay? Hassan, let's go back to you in St. Petersburg. Let's look at the players on the ground. We have Hamas, we have Hezbollah, we have Iran. And collectively, they're very powerful, but when each one of them acts separately, they're not as powerful. That's why I think Hezbollah's role in this will only grow, because if Hamas is taken out, then Hezbollah is weakened, and Iran's view of the region also. So do you see them working collectively together? Because if there is any real form of ethnic cleansing, Hezbollah has to react. It simply has to. Go ahead in St. Petersburg.
Well, I agree. In the case of a whole-scale massacre of the Gazan people, you know, all the horrific pictures streaming out of Gaza, I would think it would be impossible for Hezbollah to remain a passive onlooker. At some stage, they might get involved, and we all know Hezbollah is much more capable of conducting a type of warfare that it has created against Israel. And in all the military conflicts, it has been able to repel any Israeli attack on Hezbollah. And the last one was in 2006, and Hezbollah again managed to inflict heavy casualties on Israel and pushed Israel back. And since then, I think they have been rearming in every sense. And they keep saying that their particularly missiles could hit any part of Israel. Whether or not this would actually happen would largely depend on what Israel does in Gaza, I would think, and how basically Hamas would calculate the pros and cons of entering the conflict. But whether the United States would also get into the conflict and bomb Hezbollah positions together with Israel, and whether they would their intervention would make a great deal of impact on the Israeli position, or on whether they would actually push Hamas back, push Hezbollah back, depends on a lot of things. But the real problem would lie with Iran. You know, Netanyahu seems to want to basically take the Americans together with Israel in a campaign against Iran.
Well, that's what it seems to me, too. Let me go back to London here. I'm glad this was brought up. So Netanyahu wants the Americans to attack Iran during all of this, and they will take care of Gaza, which, of course, in a lot of circles in the United States and the foreign policy blob, they would love that, because nobody will be talking about the Palestinians. They'll be just talking about how they've gone after the mullahs. That's what they're thinking. But I absolutely believe that if the U.S. started attacking Hezbollah, Iran has assets all through the region. American military bases would pay a very high price. Go ahead in London.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, lots of people have been discussing this to say that this is what Israel wants. They ultimately want the U.S. to back them. If it gets to that point, I do genuinely believe that it's going to be a catastrophe. If it gets to that point, we are going to have Hezbollah, who are naturally going to defend Gaza. They are going to do that as the casualties go up, as we see that international laws are broken. Hezbollah will have no choice but to intervene. And people cannot underestimate the power that Hezbollah has right now. You know, people are discussing about, you know, ammunition, how many weapons they have, Hezbollah. If what we've seen happen with Hamas, what Hamas are doing, in comparison, they pale to Hezbollah. And we know that ultimately, if it's going to go down the road of Iran, I also believe that Biden isn't going to back that. Biden is not going to back that, which is why we're seeing him slowly backtrack. He's now saying we need to de-escalate. This cannot extend. But it seems like there are internal politics between Netanyahu and Biden that we are also not seeing. So they are not on the same page either. I genuinely believe that.
Yeah, well, you know, wag the dog. You know, that's always been the situation here. You know, Misty, I usually don't talk about domestic American politics here, but Joe Biden is down in the polls. Nobody particularly likes him. The economy is not doing well. He's got some family problems, if you know what I mean. And his war in Ukraine is gone nowhere. It's been a boondoggle. My goodness, a new opportunity is on the horizon, because he, even when he was vice president, his relationship with Netanyahu was very poor. It was poor during the first part of his administration here. And now he has an opening. Is this pure cynical politics, Misty?
I certainly don't put it past them. I mean,
I agree. I agree with you completely. I agree.
I definitely don't put it past them. I think that we've seen this time and time again. Anytime a president happens to be in trouble in the polls or with an approval rating number, there's always that war button that they can push to kind of boost themselves. And I think that we've seen kind of, shadows of that. We've seen the Ukraine situation, I think, was a great example of him trying to bolster his numbers. That obviously didn't work out in his favor. But we've seen him, I mean, just recently he gave an interview where he was asked, can we handle two wars at the same time? And he's like, yeah, we're America. You know, like we're the most powerful country on earth. And he's trying to, create a sense of strength, create a sense of leadership. I just don't think that it's going to be enough. I think, as you said, he is already so far down in the polls. Already, his presidency has been kind of a nightmare and really ineffective on so many fronts. I think that people are really fed up. In particular, I think they're really fed up with these continual and nonstop wars. So I think that while this may have worked in the past, I'm a little bit skeptical about how it would be effective here going into 2024. But we will see. We shall see.
Well, Misty, I mean, you know, let's go back to Tony Blitzkrieg, the Secretary of State, okay? I mean, so he oversaw the evacuation of Kabul. He's oversaw this ridiculous war in Ukraine. And now he's going to be Henry Kissinger? Really? Okay. These people are so out of their depth. Let me go to Hassan, because we're running out of time here. Hassan, I think the region, for the most part now, what makes it different now is that they're not as afraid of the United States as they used to be. Do you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yes, definitely. Because with the emergence of multipolarity, I mean, you can see lots of countries changing their traditional positions. But for the multipolarity, we could have hardly seen Iran and Saudi Arabia and the Gulf Arab countries basically normalizing their relations. But for multipolarity, again, we could hardly have seen Turkey cutting a balancing act between NATO and Russia and other powers in the world. So the multipolarity is going to play, is going to impact on the Middle East to a great extent. And any U.S. involvement in the way we are describing would turn out to be a terrible mistake.
Well, it's, you know, in closing here, I think it's we shouldn't really reflect upon the fact that it took the start of this conflict. Again, no one should be given a pass for atrocities, but it took such a tragic event for the world to remember that there are people suffering in Palestine on the Gaza Strip. All of a sudden, we have to remember them. We're being forced to be moral people again. That's very, very difficult in the West. And I think that, you know, as this plays out here, we have to remember to keep a moral compass and speak out for people that have no power. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do on this program. And I appreciate all three of you participating in that. That's all the time we have. I want to thank my guests in Columbus, London, and in St. Petersburg. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules.